Just before the episode begins, here's a reminder that we are on a website called On Podium, where you can find all our episodes, you can find blogs, you can register to become a guest, you can write reviews, you can subscribe from there, including our videos, which go onto YouTube. You can even donate if you want to support us. And what's the address, Nick?
So it's 2-5-1.onpodium.co.
On to the episode. Hello and welcome to 251, Two Pianists, 5 Minutes, One Subject. And today's episode is called So You Make It All Up, Right? My name's Simon Whiteside.
My name's Nick Tomlin, and this is 251. A very common misconception about jazz is that it's basically just musicians making stuff up in a very free way, which I mean, there is a style of jazz called free jazz where that can be the case. But I'd say the majority of jazz, and particularly what you might call the mainstream of jazz, going from the sort of New Orleans jazz through swing, through bebop, post-bop, it's really not that at all. And the musicians are actually playing to a very specific structure, depending on what they're playing, whether they're playing a standard or they're playing a jazz tune. So I thought it might be worth just looking a little bit at that, really.
Yeah, well, essentially what we're talking about is form, isn't it? And one of the things we've... our previous episode was about chord symbols, and we talked about a chord chart, and that is often very commonly 32 bars long. And the point of that is that when you play a jazz song, you will play the tune. You may have an introduction before it, but you will play the tune, which lasts for 32 bars. And then you will repeat the structure of that tune chord-wise, round and round.
Like a loop.
So everybody in the band is following that roadmap. And one of the things I like to, a metaphor I like to bring up is a train. When a train goes along, it's got a front, an engine, that's the head. And then it's got carriages, and they are basically the same, but slightly different. So you've got first class, second class, dining car, etc., things like that. And then on many trains at the back, you've got another engine. So that's the head out. And I think if you think of it like that, that you're sitting there and a train is slowly trundling past you, that's a jazz tune going by.
That's interesting. I've never heard of that. Never heard that before.
I may have made it up myself. It might actually be the one original thought I had.
Quick copyright.
What we then... And it's a way of also of being able to memorise tunes, isn't it? That there are lots of similar structures that you can think about.
Yeah, so a jazz performance might be 7 or 8 minutes long, but very often it's just, like you say, it may be 32, or if it's a blues, it may be 12. It's a set number of bars which are then being repeated over and over and over again, basically for the duration of the tune.
So one of the big differences between folk music and jazz is that a folk song is literally repeated again and again and again. And that's how it works. And everyone knows those tunes, so they know the whole tune, the whole reel, whatever they're playing. And they just play it round and round again, and then when they've had enough of it, they stop. And that's... Jazz is doing a similar thing, but what we're trying to do is make each of the repeats slightly different. We might add extra chords, we might change the chords slightly within parameters that we understand within a band, and then the bass player will follow the pianist, or the pianist will follow the bass player.
Yeah, and also the improviser is trying to create new melodies, really, on this repeating harmonic structure. So not just playing something that they've learnt, but actually improvising new melodic material.
Well, when I talk about improvising, and we may have done this also, I think of it as giving a speech as opposed to reading a poem out or play. So you've got 5 points you want to make, and you may make them in a different order each time, and you may word them slightly differently each time, but you still have those ideas to put across. Yeah, it's when you're listening to jazz, then perhaps think about this kind of carriage structure and see if you can find the front of every character.
I think it really helps. It really helps if you understand that when you're listening to jazz, how it's actually working.
Yeah, there are several books, How to Listen to Jazz by Ted Gioia, What to Listen for in Jazz, can't remember the author, I'm afraid, The Jazz Ear. There are quite a few books that make this clearer. We have actually looked at one of those. I'll put it in the show notes. So from me, Simon Whiteside, goodbye.
From me, Nick Tomlin, goodbye.